Good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVR 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I have a great episode for you, an interview, Lynn Perrin, and we will be talking about her work, and she'll be giving us updates about her project. Thank you, Lynn, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sergi, for inviting me to share information with my community.
Ask you, what is new with you? You've been working on a lot of projects, and you've talked to us about them a few times when you've been here. So if you can give a bit of an update to our listeners, that would be great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been really busy. I have about four balls in the air, and usually, you know, I don't have that many, but two of them have been about watercourses, which I've spoken to you about in previous broadcasts, Sergeet. And I can't believe that, you know, both of them have really kept me so busy over the last 4 or 5 months since we had the panel discussion and since I had my last interview with you. So two that we've talked about were West Creek in at the Abbotsford-Langley border, and then also the water courses that are impacted by the Trans Mountain expansion. And so we've been really trying to keep our eye on what is happening in the West Creek headwaters, because there appears to be a real push by Beatty, the industrial developer, to start to do some serious permanent harm on about three or four places in the headwaters there. And so our group, West Creek Awareness, had a grant from the West Coast Environmental Law, and we got a legal opinion on various options that we have to try and protect the headwaters and the salmon, who is their habitat there, the coal. And so we've tried to do the least expensive and the least conflicted option, which is to engage an engineer and to communicate with both Beatty, the developer, and with the Township of Langley about their plans and how they really don't comply with the Fisheries Act or the riparian area regulations or the Water Sustainability Act. And we actually had a face-to-face meeting with some of the employees and went to a public information meeting about one of their plans, which is pretty well across the street from where I lived for 17 years. And I know that not only West Creek is affected by this particular development proposal, but also Nathan Creek is, because it's kind of wetland and feeds both Nathan Creek and West Creek, and they are Class A salmon habitat there. So they're planning on infilling a lot of it, and I'm really worried about that, because especially when we've had the drought this year, I'm really worried that if they infill that wetland and drain off some of it into storm sewers, that those creeks are going to not have enough water a year from now when the salmon are trying to spawn. As we've seen some watercourses around this area, that the salmon have not been able to get up to their spawning grounds because of the drought, because there's not enough water flowing in those creeks. So we've expressed concern. I actually contacted the Department of Fisheries and Oceans because supposedly there was a permit issued, which in fact there was not a permit issued. It was a letter of advice, and actually it has expired. So I've actually done a couple of access to information requests with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and one of them was to do with that particular development, but also the other three. It appears that the developer is still using a permit that expired about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we beg and we plead with the local fisheries officers to, you know, take a close look at this. But they are in there with bulldozers right up to the creek and taking all the riparian vegetation away, which is so important to nourish the fish. And so most recently I've put out a plea to members of parliament from the area to please talk to the minister, Minister Joyce Murray, who is from BC, about it appears that fisheries staff are ignoring the most current Fisheries Act, which has stronger protection of habitat under Clause 35, Bracket 2. And I know this is probably really going into the weeds for a lot of people, but we've had to really pay close attention to this, because the next step for us is to actually go to court and ask the courts to declare that, in fact, the permit expired in 2015 and that the work that has taken place since then has been done without a permit.
But before you go to court, have you tried to sit down with the township of Langley and the developer and share your concerns that way?
Yes, we have. We have numerous times. Numerous times. And it doesn't appear to make any impact whatsoever. We've written letters, emails, had meetings, been delegations to, public hearings, and nothing seems to be working. And so, we haven't gone to court yet, but we see it as, one of the only options that we may have to use.
Have you asked for a meeting with the minister, the federal minister?
Well, actually, through a member of parliament, I'm not going to mention their name right at this moment, to give them a chance to finish their advocacy for us and that creek and those salmon. I sent a lot of information to one of the Liberal MPs, assistant, who has forwarded it to the minister's office. So hopefully, someone there is, taking a close look at this. And right now we have the Department of Fisheries and Oceans doing an inquiry into why the salmon, especially sockeye, are not coming back in the numbers that they should be, and there's a crisis. in the sockeye fishery, but if things don't change, there's going to be a crisis in the coho fishery as well. And because West Creek headwaters is really important to wild coho, and probably one of the reasons is because it's so close to the ocean, you know, so coho have a better chance of reaching the ocean.
Have you tried to engage the general public in this issue?
Pardon me?
Have you tried to engage the general public in this issue, to mobilize the general public?
Well, we do have a website now, West Creek Awareness. We've got a website, and, you know, I mean, I put it out there in social media as much as I can. I even use Twitter and try and, you know, flag it for decision makers in Ottawa. I've actually written emails to the House of Commons Fisheries Committee members. Sarjeet, I've just tried everything and anything to get some kind of serious attention paid to this, and it's not only Beatty, it's not only West Creek, but just a couple of days ago, I read on the Canada Energy Regulator website that Trans Mountain now wants to do a trench, open trench. Of the Coldwater River up near Merritt. And one of their plans is to put in the spawning deterrents, like the snow fencing that was done a few years ago in Belmont. They want to put snow fencing in because a late fall run, I'm quoting, of coho salmon is expected in the Coldwater River near this crossing in the coming few weeks. And Trans Mountain will install spawning deterrents immediately to ensure that spawning does not occur within the construction footprint. So we've got Beatty doing what they're doing to the headwaters of West Creek, Nathan Creek. And we've got Trans Mountain doing what they're doing now at the Coldwater River, but in August in the Coquihalla River. I don't know if you saw any of the news about that, about the open trenching they did there right when salmon were literally spawning and causing some fatalities of salmon and causing an incredible amount of turbidity in the water, which salmon cannot survive, excessive turbidity. So for us protectors, I'm not going to call myself a protester. I'm a protector. And for us protectors, It seems as if none of the regulators are doing their job and are enforcing the Fisheries Act or the Water Sustainability Act. And we've just come to the conclusion that the only way that we can proceed is to go to court, which is extremely expensive for a group of local citizens. You know, it's tens of thousands of dollars. So I'm afraid that, you know, the Beatties and the Trans Mountains of the world, they calculate that. They calculate that when they're doing what they're doing. Well, they know they know that they've got a lot of influence with the regulators. In fact, there's a term, it's called captured. They've captured the regulators. And they know that protectors don't have the means, the financial means to take them to task in court. You know, I don't know, Sarjeet, if you've seen the reports from the European art galleries and museums about the tomato soup on a Van Gogh painting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the mashed potatoes on a Monet painting. And I mean, I love both of those artists. But, you know, you have to kind of appreciate how desperate those protectors in Europe, and they're really trying to highlight the climate emergency when they do those kind of things, Extinction Rebellion. And so, you know, I mean, Dr. Takaro, who was on the panel, you know, he went to jail because he...
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How many months did he end up getting?
He got 30 days.
Okay, 30
days. He got 30 days, yeah.
Is he out? And is he out right now?
Yeah, he is. He's out. He's out. And, you know, the Trans Mountain, they've got that injunction, and they will actually do things to cause the likes of Dr. Takaro and myself to breach their injunction.
Thank you for listening to Eye on the Valley. Join me again next week right here on CIBL 101.7 FM as I have another great episode for you.